is done.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Dropped into Juice Box Radio, where sexuality educators quench your search for responsible, progressive sexuality over your lifespan. Yes, don't. Am I on? I don't even hear myself. Weird.
You are on.
I can't hear it. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, I can hear you now. I don't know. Can you hear us, listeners out there? Hello out there.
Caroline's
we are here.
She's doing a great job with the engineering tonight. Thanks, honey. I'm sitting on the other side tonight.
Oh, thank you.
So you are exactly where you want to be. You've landed in Juice Box Radio at CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, the Lotus Land today. Wow, eh? Beautiful, sunny day.
Fantastic day.
Maybe you're one of our online listeners live right now at CITR.ca from around the world. If you do ever miss a show, you can always download the podcast at juiceboxradio.com. So tonight's show, our 166th show, March 5th, 2008, can't believe it, is all about threesomes. And I haven't done a show on threesomes in about a year and a half, so I figure it's kind of time. And the last time we did a show on this, before you were with us, Caroline, was with, I think it was Dr. Peg Arend, so it might have even been 2.5 years ago the last time we talked about it. And it was kind of also around gay sexuality and doing threesomes with three of the same sex and just kind of the bisexual side of things and that's a great juicy topic and one that I can speak to. But tonight we're going to be talking about the most sort of popular one, the most typical, one man, two women. Sort of pretty much every man's main fantasy, I'd say 50%, did some research, 50% of men want this one most of all. And for women, it's more like kind of a blip on their fantasy radar at about 15%.
Interesting.
That they want to have sex with another woman and a man. They tend to prefer to have one with a fantasy with two men and themselves. And so I'm sure it's for the same reason that the men want to have, the heterosexuals want to have the two women, get spoiled, so that kind of thing. But, you know, there's a great risk of jealousy, feelings of inferiority as well by sort of virtue of comparison to the two women, for example, and losing the intimacy that up to that point only you and your partner have shared. So one of the warnings for sure, top of this hour, is that you can never go back to a pre-threesome relationship. So that's an important fact to consider. And there are many to consider. So tonight we're going to be looking at this one. And of course, I wanted to get a male perspective, which is not us. We're not male. It's kind of hard to do
that. Last time I checked, I had a vagina.
So I'm just wondering, can I hear myself now? Yes, again. Well, okay, that's better. I was like, am I talking okay?
You sound just wonderful.
My headphones aren't working. So, yeah, I decided to go for the male perspective, and that's looking at, I thought, askmen.com. They tend to have some good writers, kind of well-rounded information. I thought it was pretty interesting. And you know what? You can kind of find out a lot of information about how to arrange a threesome, you know, how to kind of speak to your partner about that and things like that. But there's actually very little to do once you're kind of in one, which is, I think, often what some people fall into this trap, is that they kind of, you know, think about it. Maybe they talk to their partner. They're like, okay, yeah, sure, let's do it. And the next thing you know, it's happening. And all kinds of things can kind of happen that maybe go awry or astray, and you kind of get stuck. So threesomes are not like regular sex, definitely not. And they require, you know, I mean, regular sex also requires imagination and sensitivity, of course. But I think in a threesome situation, you have to be extra sensitive. And you need to have some idea of what you're going to be doing. So the imagination part of it, like, you know, you can fantasize, try to be creative, fantasize beforehand, think about like what you might actually do in certain situations hypothetically. It's not like kind of just going with the flow and feeling what your other partners might want you. There's a lot of head stuff going on, a lot of politics that happen. So you kind of, you know, Ask Men said something about these rules, the basic rules to help you avoid some common mistakes that prevent you from getting the most out of your threesome. And there's various types of threesomes that you can enjoy. But this one says, I bet you're hoping for the type with two women, of course, which is one of whom is likely your bisexual or your bi-curious girlfriend or wife or partner. So these are the basics on how to handle such a delectable threesome. Right? You can help me with this one, right, Caroline?
Mm-hmm.
Rule one, establish the rules. Right? So...
yes, it's really important, especially in terms of communication. If you're going to have sex with two women, all three of you should have your roles and limits. So understanding and respecting one another's comfort levels should always be a top priority. It's pretty important. So you should know what you like. Like if you don't want to watch your partner having sex with somebody else in front of you, maybe it's just you're doing oral or they get to watch you with another person. Mm-hmm. But and all those things should be talked about as opposed to right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so important to respect the limits of your partner. You know, each woman may suddenly feel very jealous, so you have to try to askmen.com saying you have to try your best not to shut either women out and always give more attention to the women with whom you have a relationship. Even if you may not want to do that, you have to always be very aware of the woman you're in relationship with to take extra care of her, or it's never going to happen again, mm-hmm. for one, right? And as well, I think for the man in this situation, you may feel jealous yourself that you're not the center of attention, but just keep in mind that the object of the game is to share sex between three people. So one of you is always going to be left out, and I think that that's kind of the name of a threesome. That's the name of the game. There's three of you. One of you is going to be kind of having the short end of the stick at some point or another throughout the night.
So why do you think a threesome's popular as opposed to a foursome, where it'd be a little bit more balanced?
I think probably... because foursomes have, you know, four people that can always be kind of involving themselves with one. So even if there might be a threesome situation happening in that foursome, and one of them just is choosing to watch, take a break, or go get some water, go to the bathroom, whatever happens.
I thought you were going to say popcorn for a moment there.
Get some popcorn, yeah.
And watch.
Maybe. Yeah, it could happen. I mean, I think... if you're not in a couple situation and you're the third person or the fourth person, it's probably a lot easier and a lot more fun. I'm kind of speaking to the relationship side of things because that's where the complexity really happens. And if you have a threesome with good friends, like somebody who's a really close friend of yours as the other woman and your partner, it gets even more complex because there's a friendship involved there as well. So be wary. But also keep in mind that some people try to drink their way into bravery. Drunken sex usually ends up just being bad, however bad sex can be.
And I think that goes regardless whether or not you're having a threesome or not. Mm-hmm. Just in general, you shouldn't be having sex drunk.
Yes. I mean, we always do these things and then we regret it in the morning. I don't know a single person who has drunken sex. And, you know, if it's with your partner and you have sex all the time, maybe it can get a bit more raunchy and it can be a little bit more fun because you're kind of, you know, your inhibitions are down. But you're not going to be in your peak performance as far as a man goes. I mean... that's just the way it goes. Alcohol and erectile function are not the best of friends. So, and women tend to not be able to orgasms either. That was a great visual.
this is what we need.
Our video. We've got to get video. So AskMen.com says as well, from a male perspective, rule two, be as giving as you can. Although you may be hoping that the two women will give you 100% of their attention, the truth is that they're going to be there to please each other, perhaps just as much as they're there to please you, and you may end up feeling ignored and should do your best just to get over it. The best way to approach the situation is to forget your feelings for a moment and try to be as generous with your hands and mouth as you can. And pleasure in one-on-one sex goes back and forth, but in a threesome, it's more of a cycle that moves from person to person. I have to agree with that from what I've spoken to a lot of people about over the years. You sort of, you do go, one is always getting the majority of the attention. That's always the way it goes in a threesome because it is a three. If it's a four, it's not the same. There's always kind of more of a balance of hands and arms and mouths and things to play with. And somebody's not going to be as left out. In a threesome, there's always a person getting more attention. So it kind of goes in cycles. That's the best way to do a threesome, is to make sure it's cyclical like that.
Do you think it's healthier for whatever the woman in the relationship is, if she's the center of it? So then that way, she doesn't get as jealous if the attention's mainly focused on her, both from her partner as well as from the other woman.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's kind of like being glorified.
Yeah, I think if you have a two-woman, one-man threesome and the couple relationship, a hetero couple kind of thing. Obviously there's some bisexuality happening right there, but yeah, it really important that, you know, and in a threesome with two men, it's like that your partner, your male partner, the one that you're in love with or whatever, gets to be the center of attention. I think it's a really good way to go, that they're always the one being cared for the most, because of the balance of energies and the bisexual side of things, as opposed to like the relationship, the heterosexual, there's so much more going on there. But, you know, I think in a threesome with two women, focus on turning both the women on, and the attention is always going to come back to you as a man, because if the women are aroused, they're going to, you know, especially if you, you know, you start giving one of them oral, I mean, obviously they're going to be very much focused on you in that moment, you know. And so I think if you work at turning women on, they do warm up a little slower in general. So if you get them going, it kind of, the fire burns longer and hotter. So do your magic, guys, as much as you can in the beginning. Keep it going. And then eventually I think the women will start to feel more comfortable and more aroused.
So a lot more foreplay, would you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Keep your hands moving in the threesome, and make sure you know when to penetrate. That's really important.
When is the time to penetrate?
Be careful with penetration, and actually that's rule four. So let's talk about rule three, because rule three says keep yourself busy. When you find that both women are busy pleasuring each other and you have nothing to do, keep your jealousy down, keep yourself busy, take matters into your own hands, find something to do. I mean, there's so many things to do when they're in a threesome. There's four breasts, there's four thighs, there's two vulvas, there's necks and backs, and, you know, if you want the attention redirected towards you, give some oral sex. I think that works. If you decide instead to just pleasure yourself for a while, you know, enjoy that, and, you know, maybe keep yourself busy that way, the action will soon come back to you. Right? Mm-hmm. Don't try to make it about you. Again, this is from AskMen.com, rule number three. And then number four is being careful with penetration. So, this is Tom Robbins. I love Tom Robbins.
Tom Robbins, is he the one that wrote the cowgirl one? Uh-huh. Even cowgirls,
even
get the blues.
The blues.
There's a really sexy threesome scene in that one, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the movie. But.
Well, I love Tom Robbins talks about penetration as that old showstopper in a threesome, because it automatically forms a serious bond between you and one woman. And it seriously leaves the other woman out. So penetrate only when you're sure both women are very comfortable with it. And, you know, even if they say maybe they are, like, it's pretty important, again, to talk about these things beforehand with your partner. I think that the third person, the other woman, she should probably be okay with any kind of penetrative activity you might have with the partner, because she knows you're in a couple situation, and really she's kind of getting some gravy, and it's kind of fun for her, and she's probably being spoiled anyway because she's the new partner. But yeah, just be really careful with penetration. Because your natural inclination as a man is going to be to pay close attention to this woman you're penetrating, but you can't focus on her entirely. And so that's going to take a lot of precipitation, which means a lot of ability to do multiple things without watching, you using your eyes. So, you know, you're going to have to be like penetrating and fucking this other person while you maybe you're handling the other woman and trying to pleasure her and keep her included in the mix. Kissing her and touching her, looking her in the eye. While you're penetrating the other woman is often a good trick, and talking to her, you know, like, I don't know. I don't want any examples. I'm sure you can come with some examples yourself, and people who are listening.
Yes.
Or Caroline.
No, I've never had a threesome, so I wouldn't know. I'm a virgin to this stuff, so. But I was going to say, just to be aware that, especially as a guy, in terms of the pleasure, because it is the number one fantasy for guys. Mm-hmm. And in regards to that, just be really careful when you're thrusting into one woman and kissing another, meaning that you may climax.
Them, yeah, like,
yeah, quite quickly. So enjoy the foreplay. Remember, it takes about 45 minutes for a woman to hit full arousal. So really, really, really let them play as well. So watch the penetration big time.
And just stop, like pull out and do something else. I mean, there's no need for you to continue to climax. You can always just stop, you know? And then that's always a good way to check in with the other person and see how they're doing, if they need to get some attention.
But don't stop if they are saying, don't stop, don't stop, please, don't, no. You don't want to do the feminine equivalent of blue balls. That would be very, very distressful.
But what if you're about to climax, and then pretty much for a man, it's going to be over. For some men, for the night, it'll be over. For some other men, you know, they can recuperate, but it's still going to take 15, 20 minutes, you know, at the least, unless you're 18, then it might take 5. But, I
mean, that's honestly, what toys are for.
Okay, so I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily, I guess, maybe, if she's going to have an orgasm. But women, it is a tough one. It takes us a while. When you lose it, you have to build us back up.
Mm-hmm. Which is why
I think it's the same as men.
It's cruel to stop right at that crux. It's better just to ride the wave. Let her come. If she's that close to coming, let her have an orgasm. I think it's really, really, really important.
Okay, that's your opinion. I like it. And then they're saying, don't get so excited that you lose track of the women. All three of you should be sexually satisfied. And even if you achieve climax first, you must do everything you can do to bring both your partners to orgasm.
Which is why toys would be quite beneficial. Actually, Tanya Diamond, one of our favorites, tantra practitioners, just has a DVD that's out right now, which I've yet to see, but I'm very curious about her trip to the sex toy store, which might give some people
like
some ideas in terms of what to pick.
Yes, right.
And maybe we need to do a trip to the sex toy store one day and figure out what we like.
If we had money for that,
that's
it would
true.
Be great. You know, although people should be donating us these things, shouldn't they?
That's true, because they could have us try it out and
that's
we could do
right.
reviews on the show.
You know, I need to be more of a promoter. So rule number 5 from AskMen.com, say for threesomes, be safe. Obviously, we also as well on Juicebox Radio think condoms are a necessity, obviously. Semen, vaginal fluid, menstrual blood, they all transmit STIs. So use one specific hand to pleasure one specific woman if you want to be really safe, and use the other hand on the other woman and keep it that way. You must never alternate. And I think that is safe sex, and that is safer sex. And obviously, if you're having intercourse with both women, use a separate condom with each partner. You might have to go through 10 condoms, but you know, better to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Dental dams are also a good precaution for oral sex. And, of course, lubricate the side that you place against the woman's skin for a better sensation on the dental dams. Or the oral dams are called, yes.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Where do people buy these dental
oral
dams?
Oral dams? They're called oral dams now. This is obviously a bit outdated here. Ask men, come on, get on with your right things. They said STDs, too. I'm like, okay, it's a sign of sex
and they called it vaginas instead of vulvas, which Julia thankfully changed.
Really, yeah. It's a men's site. I don't know if they even have a clue what's going on about these sort of things. They just seem to be a bit uneducated about women. But anyway, oral dams, you can get them at sex stores, just about any sex store. So the really good ones, like, you know, what are the good ones?
There's the Art of Loving.
Art of Loving and
Woman's Wear.
Woman's Wear. And there's Kiss Store. The Kiss Store is fabulous. The Love's Nest is really good. So those are really high-end, nice, very, you know, great selection of products in all of those stores in Vancouver. I'm sure there's one in your area. And, of course, if you go to the sort of more dingy sex stores, they still will have oral dams. Check the expiry date. So, you know, they're pretty, oral dams are pretty foolproof. They're not going to break. They're thick, and they do work well, though. I've heard from people that they work really well. And they feel actually sometimes even better than a tongue, because they are softer. And for some women, they prefer that. Remember rule number 6, the absolutely most important one that I think. It's not a relationship. So afterward, after your threesome, sure, lie around with both women in the post-coital bliss for sure, but remember, it is not a relationship, and this means that the third person should not sleep over. It might seem like a good idea at the moment, but prolonging a threesome is a total recipe for disaster, and it really is, believe you me. And of course, very important, be very reassuring to your girlfriend, your wife, your partner. You've had fun, but it's only pleasure and experimentation. Tell her that she turns you on and that seeing her being pleasured by another woman aroused you tremendously and that you enjoyed yourself, but there's no one for you but her. She's your primary concern, so let her know that, or you might as well have, you might not have another threesome adventure in the future. And I have to agree with AskMen.com on that one. You know, it may be an ego thing. It may be, you know, a jealousy thing, a possessive thing, whatever it might be. There is a threat to the relationship, and if you love somebody, having your relationship threatened is not going to feel good, and it's not going to make you want to do that thing again. So definitely the relationship is your primary concern. Any polyamorous would tell you that. Any swinger would tell you that. Anyone who is totally pro group sex, that kind of thing, and group threesomes for sure, that is the number one rule. Mm-hmm. Your relationship is key. And I think the sleepover thing is important. Because it's not a relationship. It's a short-term recreational, sex-only, pleasure-only, fun times. And unless, like, you guys are 300% sure that it's going to be totally fine in the morning and it's not going to be all awkward. Like, I've heard so many threesome stories from so many of my friends that have said to me that, you know, it was great and it was all fun and everything else, and then they slept over. And in the morning, it was so awkward, we didn't know what to do. Now, if it's awkward, it might be a sign that there wasn't enough communication beforehand, and there wasn't, maybe you shouldn't have been doing it in the first place, you know? But it's also, just like, I think, important to take care of the primary relationship, and that needs to be done the most, you know, thoroughly after the experience has happened, and then in the morning, you know, kind of thing, and just have it be about you guys again. What do you think about that, Caroline? Do you think that makes sense?
I think it makes sense if it's a one-time thing, but if it turns into a polyamorous relationship, I think that needs to be discussed.
Oh, and for sure. I can understand that. That's polyamory. That's loving more than one. That's probably means the three of you sleep in the same bed overnight.
I was thinking you'd need a double king-size bed.
That's right. Yeah, the middle person gets totally squished and sweaty.
I think you just grossed me out big time. You know how I feel about people sweating on me.
Oh, really? I didn't know. Did you have issues with sweat?
Oh, this is why I don't like dancing on the dance floor. I like standing up on a speaker instead. I don't like other people sweat on me.
I dance on dance floors by myself. I don't like people sweating in a dancing situation, that's for sure.
And I don't like people sweating on me when during
intercourse. I think sex and sweat belong together. If you're not sweating, whose work is going on there? I don't know. You're being lazy.
It depends on how much sweat. And I guess. It depends whether it's dripping in your eyes or not.
I'm not into the sweat at night when you like roll over and your partner is completely soaked and the bed is wet. That stuff is just nasty.
Yeah. And the whole menopausal sweat.
Which I haven't experienced yet, thank God. Not quite there yet, ladies. All right.
But we're going to take a short break at this
time. I think
so.
It's a bit early, but that's great. We'll just do that. And yeah.
And we may have hopefully you will call in during our break, which would be great.
Yeah, we'd like to hear your threesome stories. Anyone out there with a plus or a, you know, benefits that you find. We're going to be talking after the break about the benefits and the detriments, the issues, and the repercussions, how to deal with them, and what the benefits of having a threesome are all about for you and your relationship. But in the meantime, it's a huge topic, threesomes, the why and the why not. But for now, I must tell you that you're listening to Juicebox on CITR Radio 101.9 FM in Vancouver. We welcome your calls especially, so call in at 604-822-2487. That's 604-UBC-CITR. We'll be right back with threesomes, the good, the bad, and the ugly. To me, turn your friends against you. One by one, or two by three. But I guess I'm not the monster I might have lied to be. Failure saved me from myself. Saved me from myself. Now I'm
I might have lied to be failure. Save me from myself. Save me from myself. Now I'm no threat to me. I'm not the asshole your cold heart might have preferred. Failure, save me from myself. Save me from myself. Now I'm no threat to me. Not like I was wishing I could be.
William Shatner. Imagine a children's hospital network that boldly goes where none have gone before, and that's Shriners Hospitals for Children. Shriners Hospitals combine state-of-the-art research and teaching programs with world-class orthopedic burn, spinal cord injury, and cleft lip and palate medical care. At Shriners, tomorrow's medical care is here today. Call 1-800-361-7256 for more information. Shriners, having fun and helping kids.
Juice Box is a sexuality education show geared to adult audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
And we're back.
And you're back. Yes. Hi.
Hi, everyone. So, and if you're just joining us, it's Julia Saunders and Caroline McGillivray on Juice Box Radio 101.9 FM CITR. And I think Julia's got a very important juice berry to talk about tonight.
Yes. It is 10 days away from the Juice Box Salon. I reviewed my little pieces tonight, and I think that the show is going to be amazing. I mean, I know it's going to be amazing. It is basically sort of sex ed as you've always wanted it, interspersed with performance art like you've never seen it. I mean, we have some incredible performance artists. We have flamenco and burlesque with Crystal Precious. We have flamenco with Jen Fitzpatrick and this aerial duet with Ikoya Mastin and Annika Deakin. Incredible circus performers, like acrobatics. We have all kinds of cool juggling and acrobatics. And I think the performance art by Jane Panic is going to be amazing. She is doing a big show coming up as well. It hasn't been named yet, but it's in April, so we'll talk about that later. She's doing a whole show. So this will be a nice piece to see her at the beginning. We have an incredible evening, like in the middle of the intermission, there's all these senses of the chocolates and fruit, and there'll be life drawing, and like we had at the first salon, which was very popular, and there's some books to give away around that. And then at the end, stick around. Tonight, or this year, we're doing it on a Saturday as opposed to a Thursday. So there's dancing until 1, which is going to be amazing. And then after that is this really cool party called the Red Party, which is perfect because the dress for Sins and Senses at Juice Box Salon is red and black. So, and then you can go to the Red Party after. We'll be announcing that at the salon. It's a private kind of really, really cool, amazing DJ's after party, but you'll only be able to find out about it
if you go to the salon.
And so, but the show after and dancing until 1 is with DJ Adrian Blackhurst. He's got some total sexy Balkan beats, very funky, and it'll be a very sensuous and sophisticated evening with myself as the agent provocateur.
Which is going to be quite lovely, darling.
I highly recommend you come. Anyway, the tickets are selling fast, so do check it out at juiceboxsalon.com, and you can buy through Brown Paper Tickets through, I think, a few avenues there. There's a phone number as well if you'd rather not do it online. So,
is Crystal Precious really doing flamenco as well?
No, Jen Fitzpatrick is doing flamenco, and Crystal Precious is giving a talk, and she's doing a burlesque.
What kind of talk is she giving?
Oh, it's part of the salon.
Well,
it's all
Julie,
kind of the secret there. It's all woven in. You'll be there, Caroline.
I will be, but I want to know because I'm very curious, and this is very cruel of you to make me and tease me this way, Ms. Julia Saunders.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you more about it after the salon. The listeners can find out all about it after. Yeah.
I hate when you make me wait in anticipation.
I don't want to ruin it for the people that are spending their good hard-earned money on this fabulous and very worthwhile endeavor. So the other thing, and we haven't talked to Dr. Ian Kerner in a while. Oh, the Drum and Light Festival. I think that's going to be incredible. The first one was last Saturday, March 1st, and the next one you can see is on the 14th of Friday, right before the salon.
So you can kind of have a full party weekend.
Yeah. This Hard Rubber New Music and Vancouver 2010 Olympiad present the Drum and Light Festival, which is Friday, March 14th at the Wise Hall. The doors are at 9, and basically they're selling like 120 tickets or something only, and it's basically like electronic music and visual extravagance with, I know, the Suez Holland, she's incredible, and I think there's a lot of other visuals, and there's dance and theater happening as well, but there's also percussion and live music being played during the electronica, so it's this incredible all-star collection of Vancouver artists, Timothy Wisdom, Leonard Paul, David Rimmer, Sequoia, Ray Garraway, Jack Duncan Moore, and of course, the formidable John Korshund. And now he was in my last salon.
I was going to ask, who is that?
He was in my last salon. He's an incredible composer, but also he plays the trumpet. I hope I got that right, John. Please don't kill me.
The trumpet.
I've seen him play it. He's incredible.
I think.
And it's a difficult thing to play. Anyway, my lovely little Wu is away, so she can't do her tricks at this salon, but perhaps we might be doing one in September, and perhaps she can do it then.
And last but not least, can I add one more?
The phone
and I think
is
we've got
ringing,
a caller,
so,
too.
To get that, yeah.
Kali, just give me this one more moment. I just want to pitch as well. We've got a David Bowie ball as well, which I think for all of you who
can
like
we hear
the
caller? Are you with us? Hello?
Is Kali still there?
Hello?
Hello.
Oh,
hi.
I hear Kali.
Just give us one second.
I just want to mention as well, there is the Bowie Bash that's coming up as well, which is March 27th, which I think you should definitely check out if you get a chance, because it's going to be hot, it's going to be at Celebrities, and it's going to be a good time. And Vernard, who did the Love Grace Affair, Vernard and Julia, they are going to be doing this one too. So it's going to be very, very cool. Jim Cummins will be there, who is very hot and has been doing art for a very long time. And it'd be good. But let's find out. So, caller, go ahead.
All right, caller, yes, go ahead. Hi, we're talking about threesomes tonight.
Oh,
have you had one?
Yes, recently it's come into my life. Mm. I just wanted to say that, I'm a huge fan of you two, and, it's
great
to hear your beautiful voices. And
fabulous,
looking forward to the salon, too, coming up.
Right on, you'll be there. Fabulous.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great time.
Right on. Thank you. So what was your experience? What happened with your threesome? Share.
You know, it's one of those things, like all guys, they think about and hold a high regard for it, until it actually happens, and I think for me, myself personally, I felt very unfulfilled by the whole experience. It left me pretty empty inside, you know.
Really? So would you say it was better in fantasy realm?
Yeah, I would have to say that for myself. That is that, you know, it was something that was great to think about, but to actually take place in my life created a lot of dysfunction.
In what way?
In my situation, my partner got hurt by this.
Did you
discuss this event?
Okay, and how did you handle that? Did you plan the threesome in the beginning? Like, was it something that you were intending? Did you guys talk about it beforehand?
Well, it kind of evolved throughout the night, and it's one of those things, you know, where drinking was involved and perhaps got a little carried away.
Okay, so like we were saying, rule number three.
One, wrong.
Rule number one, rule number four, yeah. Whatever it was. Don't be too altered. Having a couple to loosen up a bit is okay, but never more than that. Not when you're doing something as sort of dodgy as a threesome can be, for
exactly.
Sure. So you guys had a little too much. Okay. So what happened? How did you resolve the situation? Did you resolve the situation? What is the status of your relationship now with your lover?
Well, I think there's a lot more open dialogue. Now, I think the communication between us has become a lot more honest, you know, in the way that we feel about how, you know, we would like to see our relationship evolve. You know, there was a lot of questions about that prior. You know, we were both standing on the side of the pool wondering, you know, what it was going to be like in the pool, and then we got into the pool and decided, maybe it's not that comfortable with a third person in there, and you know, you learn some lessons the hard way, and through a lot of, you know, compassion and, you know.
So did you discuss this at all beforehand? Because when you're talking about on the sides of the pool, it's sounding like you did have some discussion. Is that correct? Or, okay, what did you imagine that would happen?
Yeah, there was discussion prior.
Okay. And what did you imagine would happen? Like, in a perfect world, like, what were you thinking would happen before it happened?
Well, see, that's where the lust and love thing kind of came into play. Of course, most people, you know, lust over situations like that, but only from a visual standpoint. When I was put into that situation where it was, you know, with somebody that I truly do care about, and to see that person hurt, it changed it from lust to feeling very, very, I just felt extremely bad for being even part of a situation that hurt my lover.
Okay, well, so
I do have a weird question for
okay.
you.
Okay. I'm like, do you see some benefits of this whole thing?
Well,
what's your question?
I think one of the benefits was the fact that he feels that there's open communication now between him and his partner.
Mm-hmm.
But I did have this curiosity thing. Do you guys feel the way women do sometimes when we have bad sex, where we just feel like yakking it all up and wishing it never happened, where you could just throw it up and flush it down the toilet and just you know, use Listerine and never have to worry about it again?
Well, yeah, that's exactly how I felt. You know, I alienated myself.
So you wish
myself.
You were the bulimiator and you wish you could puke up, like, your sexual experience where it's
wow.
like you could suck back all that semen and suck it back into your cock.
Yeah, boy, a turkey baster would have came in handy.
You were trying to impregnate the other person? Anyway, okay.
How did things turn out with the other person?
Yeah.
Because you've talked a lot about your partner and you felt really bad about hurting her. How did this affect the other person? Like, were they there? Like, was your partner in hysterics crying? Or what happened? Like, I know it's a threesome, but I don't really know what happened. Like, was it where you're excluding your partner and totally focusing on the other person, or was it just that the partner realized that she didn't like being with another woman and had never been with another woman before? Like, there's so many different things, and I guess just because I don't know the whole story, I'm trying to picture it.
So what is your question, Caroline?
Yeah, I'm trying
tell me what happened.
What happened?
Basically, you said you hurt your partner, but you've been very nonspecific about what exactly.
Like, who was this person, the third person, for example? That might give us some clarity. Like, was it just a random person you met at the bar? Was it somebody that she knew? Was it someone you knew and she didn't? Was it, like...
Was it an ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, see, the person that was involved is my lover's best friend.
Oh.
Or one of her best friends.
Ooh, so. That can be a bit dodgy.
Yeah.
That gets things really complex, I think, because there's so much other stuff going on. There's so much more politics between the women, you know... It's definitely more complex. I mean, it's like polyamorous relationships. It becomes more and more complex the more that you're involved with each other. So the fact that these two women were good friends or best friends, and then, you know, she's inadvertently sharing her lover with her best friend, and then there's all that sort of feeling in there, like maybe there's some betrayal feelings, and, you know, it depends on what happened and why it kind of ended badly as it did. You know, I'd have to know the full story to really be able to kind of speak to that, but...
I think so, too, because I'd need to know, A, had these women been together before, number one. Number two, in
What's
terms
the
of,
question there, Caroline?
There's the cardinal rule in terms of with women where it's just you don't fuck your friends' boyfriends.
Yeah, even if you really want to, I think it's just a really dodgy area to go into. And again, you know, I think about these things and I think, well, it's about possessiveness, it's about jealousy, and those aren't necessarily evolved emotions, you know. But as I was saying to Caroline before the break, it's like it does threaten your relationship. And so when your relationship is threatened, it can be... a really not very good feeling thing. And so people struggle a lot. And, you know, we can try to be as evolved as possible, but really when our feelings are being hurt or our relationships are being threatened or whatever, it's just not going to be an easy road. And so I think threesomes need to be very carefully planned out. You need to really communicate what your boundaries are going to be. Getting into something like that early, like with being altered and just having it sort of happen as the night progresses, is not a good idea. And then you do it with friends, it complicates things even more. The friendship has to be repaired in the end as well. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm. Exactly.
The good thing about it, though, is by having the friends, even though I don't agree with that personally, but again, it depends on the situation. Mm-hmm. The good thing is at least you know where they've been. In terms of the STI
yes,
factor,
that's good.
As opposed to picking somebody up at the bar, you don't know if
that's true.
If
yep.
what type of STIs
can be
got.
Safe for sex, but is that what it's all about? I don't know.
It depends on what you want out
but
of
it. But it
is a
benefit to doing it with a
friend. It is a benefit.
anyway, well, caller, do you have anything else you want to add?
Yeah, I just had a couple. Actually, one other big question. Now,
sure.
the threesome environment with two women may not have been. Successful, perhaps, if I'd brought another man into the situation, you know, and involved that person into that sexual experience. How do you feel about that?
Two men and a woman?
Yeah.
Well, personally, I think it's great. But then, of course, you know, I think as I said earlier in the show, if you're the third person, if you're the person that's kind of just kind of there for the ride and having the good time and you don't really have to get super involved, then I think it can be easier. And I think for a lot of women, from what I understand from all the years I've been doing this work, they don't see... sharing their lover, their man, with another man at the same way. And I've talked to a lot of women about this as well. They don't feel jealous at all about sharing their love, their woman with another woman. They like that idea that sharing their woman with another man is a whole other story. And why is that? Well, I think it's because there's not really as much of a threat because the opposite sex is involved and it's not something that you could ever be. I mean, if you're a woman, you can never be a man. So, well, that's not true. You totally can be a transgendered man. But in the relationship, for most people that don't want to be transgendered, they like their sex. They feel comfortable in their body. Whatever. Just I'm trying to speak to that sidetrack there. I'm like, whoa, there's transgender people. Sorry. Okay, anyway. They can't be that opposite sex. And so they are happy to allow... for maybe the bisexual or homosexual experience of their lover. They don't want to kind of keep their lover from experiencing these homosexual things that they want to do. And because they're not that opposite sex, they don't feel as threatened by it. So I think that across the board tends to be the reason why it's a little easier.
Yeah, that's one of the feelings that I have. But because of how poorly this
was orchestrated. Yes.
Yeah. I just, you know, there's something that my my lover and myself have been planning for quite some time that I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. But
well, you better talk lots more about it this time, I guess, beforehand. And the boundaries around penetration. I mean, these are the big things that I was talking about before the break. It's like penetration is a really big boundary that you need to, like, really heavily discuss. All the oral stuff is a lot easier to kind of negotiate, to deal with emotionally. But penetration is a wholly other realm of energy exchange. So,
do you feel that way about the men in the homosexual environment? Is that
go ahead, Caroline.
Is penetration?
Do
the same rules apply?
Yes, I do think that the same rules do apply in terms of you have to negotiate all of that. And I just want to go full circle because you did ask if it would have been different if it was with another man as opposed to another woman. And I think it depends on the woman, because I know that's not one of my fantasies personally. It's actually one that I'm not comfortable with at all. I'd actually rather. And you can ask Julian. I'd rather be with another woman. And Julian knows
how. Why is that?
Because it just horrifies me, the concept of having two men. It just makes me feel violated.
Oh, okay.
I don't like the concept of it.
Too much masculine energy?
I think so.
Too much penetration going on? Too many cocks?
I think, me personally, I think it's partly because there's always part of me that, and this is my own baggage stuff, but I do worry that sometime that man may leave me for another man.
Oh.
My brother's gay, so okay. I've watched that go on and on over growing up. So it's one of those things that I don't trust. And when I've had a partner mention that to me personally, it actually scares me a little bit where I actually pull myself out of the relationship a bit.
Well, that might be because you've had experience with men that are maybe more threes on the bisexual scale, so there may be more potential for homosexual relationship for them. I think I'd say the majority of bisexual men that I talk to, they are more on the ones to two side. So they're kind of, you know, they really like having a relationship with the woman and they'd rather be in love with the woman, but they like to have sex with men once in a while. But then there's lots of bisexual men who are more fours and fives. They kind of would rather be in a relationship with men, but then they get into one with a woman and they kind of, you know, then they, of course they crave being with a man and then they end up falling in love with that. So as I was speaking about these threats and what might be more comfortable, I'm totally generalizing because, honestly, it's such a wide and diverse topic. It's impossible not to generalize these things. I mean, otherwise we'd be here for 3 hours breaking down each kind of situation and the pairings that might go on. So anyway, caller, thank you for your time.
Well, thank you guys for your great insight.
Okay. And so I think that the message that you have to leave with the listeners is sort of check your feelings beforehand.
Oh, definitely.
And be very honest with yourself and your partner.
And communicate, yeah, and communicate.
All right.
Before and after.
Yes.
And really, really take hold of, you know, the other person's feelings.
And especially before, but because you can't take back, you can't undo things that are already done. You can definitely discuss it, but it's definitely, as Julia was mentioning at the beginning, it changes the relationship.
Forever.
Yeah.
Forever. Yeah.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for calling.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
So, yeah, you know, a diverse topic, one that's very heated and can involve a lot of feelings. You know, the issues, I think the issues that I sort of came up with, and I just sort of wrote down a few on my own, and I think that you don't feel that the same passion and the presence of expression that you witness your lover doing to another, then you kind of get this feeling it doesn't mean anything anymore. Because you see them doing the same thing and sounding the same and humping the same or whatever. And then you just feel like you're just meaningless, you know. And then, of course, we talked about the threats to the relationship. And then, of course, the big issue of that you can never go back.
Yeah.
Can you think of any at the top of your head, honey?
About the
downs. I mean, we talk a little bit about the benefits. We'll end the show with that. But
well, I think there's also, too, in terms of sometimes if, especially the guy, just how he views the girl, like he may lose respect for both women, because it takes them off the pedestal, which makes them special.
Going from the girl you're going to marry to the party girl that maybe you don't trust in the long term or something. Who knows?
Pretty
that
much.
Could be something that could be a head trip for guys. Yeah. And like I think you were saying about some of the concerns about the homosexual stuff is that she's going to play for the other team permanently.
Mm-hmm.
I think women, like you're saying, you're concerned that he may, you know, in a threesome with another man.
It happened in Friends.
Right.
Ross's wife.
So this extreme jealousy thing can also happen, right? And the disintegration of your relationship, which can also happen if you have sex with friends. So if you have your friend coming in, it can potentially be a really serious problem to your relationship. So again, lots of communication, work through your issues, be honest and in integrity. And if you need space from each other, take it.
And don't be afraid to have a code word. I know we've discussed this in terms of when you're playing with different realms, but having a code word where you have one with your partner, you also have one with the other person as well. So then that way, if anybody is feeling uncomfortable, regardless of why, it doesn't matter. You just use that word and things stop.
Right.
And it's
really
important. It just makes everybody feel safe and they don't feel violated. They feel just comfy.
Right.
And there's a lot of benefits too. Sometimes.
Yeah, there's some, you know. I mean, we talk about, often people talk about compersion, you know, and people, I've used this word, people are like, what is that word? It's sort of one that was coined in the Kirsta commune in San Francisco, or possibly the Zeg community in Germany. But basically, it's a term used by practitioners of polyamory or swingers to describe the experience of taking pleasure when one's partner is with another person, or sort of the opposite of jealousy. Sometimes people see it. It's used to describe one's basically the pleasure that you get, the positive feelings you get when your lover is enjoying another relationship. It can also be, compersion can also be felt when, for example, your best friend that you love very much and really want them to, you know, be impressed by you or something, and another person, another woman or another friend or whatever gives them an amazing gift for their birthday that kind of outshines your gift. But instead of feeling jealous about that, you feel like, wow, you feel really happy for your partner or your friend because you're just so happy that your friend gets this beautiful gift. Mm-hmm. Instead of feeling the jealousy of what I just gave her wasn't good enough. So that's kind of the compersion feeling. And compersion, it can be a beautiful thing. I think it's a very highly evolved human emotion, not one that a lot of us can, you know, perhaps say that we've felt. But over time, as you get older and more emotionally intelligent and experienced and mature, you can feel more and more compersion. And compersion is a really beautiful, beautiful feeling. I have felt it lots in my life. I try to cultivate it whenever I can, and it is a beautiful thing. So that is one benefit. And if things go well, or even if they don't, but you stay together and work through things, threesomes can definitely bring you and your partner closer. I think that our caller
really
spoke to
that.
Yeah. Other things I kind of thought about were clarity of where you want or don't want to go next with your sexual exploration. So, like, you can get very clear about if you want, like, if you want to do it again or you don't, or maybe you are more bisexual than you thought, or, you know, you'd like to see your partner now with a man, or it kind of helps you kind of think, oh, you know, that was fun, but I'd rather maybe do it with a guy this time and, you know, see what happens or whatever, or maybe I don't ever want to do a threesome again. Now I know this, you know, those kind of things that can bring that clarity. And deep connection, obviously, as we were talking about. And I think good measure of a friendship. So if your friendships can survive with those the thirds, you know, which, like you were saying, Caroline, it sometimes might be a safer alternative sexually,
yeah.
You know, safer sex, and at least you know where they've been and whatever.
It's just a matter of making sure that that friendship's fully from love, because sometimes friendships are caught with a lot of, what's that word? Competition.
Competition, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something that you and I are not. I'd say that you and I are probably one of the least competitive people that I've ever met. I don't know. We just don't seem to have competitive bones in our body very much. Like, I don't know. Maybe you do on certain aspects.
I do a little bit, but I
see us more like, I don't know, just way more compassionate. I don't know. I'm just not a competitive person. I kind of back away from it when it happens. I just feel kind of like, I don't want to go there, you know? Anyway, and if you're not the couple, I think some of the benefits is all the fun. I think when you're a couple, it can be fun too, obviously. But there's just so much emotional stuff, so much politics. It's pretty intense. But being the third can be a whole heck of a lot of fun. I mean, you get all this attention. There's no emotional roller coaster, you know. And if you aren't involved in whatever and the couple is having sex in front of you, then it's this great live sex show. Instead of going, what is my partner doing? And oh my God, he does that with me too and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, you can just be like, wow, that's hot, you know? Like, and just watch the goings on.
Just as long as the third doesn't fall in love with one of the two people in the couple. So then that gets complicated.
Yes.
Thanks to the lovely oxytocin friend of ours. the cuddle hormone.
The cuddling hormone. So there's lots of benefits to having a threesome by Susie Bauer as well, which we didn't get to. And she's on stepbystepthreesome.com. And it looks pretty involved. She's written a few books. Susie Bauer, check her out. We didn't have time to sort of go over her main things, but she has this really open sex lives can bring you, so you can't cheat and the need to cheat diminishes. I think that's very interesting. I'll have to look into that with her. The reason I chose her because I thought hers were very interesting. Your chances of remaining in a quality relationship drastically improve and you make more effort to stay physically in shape. All things that I've never really heard of before, perhaps might work for some people. Do check out what she's talking about at stepbystepthreesome.com. Susie Bauer. So that is Threesomes, the Whys and Why Nots on Juicebox Radio tonight. We appreciate you calling and listening in. And
if you want to write to us about your experience, you can get us at julia@juiceboxradio.com.
And you can also just go to the website, juiceboxradio.com, and just post. And you can post at Caroline's blog if you want to speak to her specifically, or just post on the site generally, and we'll put you up on the site if it's not too drunk or crazy or sounds like a bunch of crap. So, yeah, I get like 300 messages and at least, 250 of them are not postable. The other 25 are spam. And
I was just going to ask, is it asking if you want more Viagra?
Yeah.
Female Viagra.
How to get your cock bigger and reduce your labial size. All very bad signs of our low self-esteem when it comes to our sexuality. Anyway.
And I'm thinking of the penis pump from Austin Powers.
So,
on that note,
my little engineer, time to wrap it up.
It is.
Next is Hans Claus's Misery Hour coming up.
And he's a very sexy man to be miserable.
He sure is. 2 hours of his ambient and a fabulous music. I love listening to it all the way home. And it puts me to sleep every Wednesday night after 10 o'clock. Our show is at 10 o'clock.
It's right. It's 11 o'clock.
11 o'clock. Hans Claus's Misery Hour.
Clock.
All right. We'll talk to you next week.
Clock.
Buy your tickets to Juicebox Salon.
And have fun. We'll talk to you next week.
You just experienced Juicebox Radio, a show dedicated to developing your relational and individual sexual health, expressing diversity, celebrating queerness, and encouraging pleasure at all stages. Be sure to tune into Juicebox every Wednesday night at 10. In the meantime, you can check out juiceboxradio.com. Thanks for listening.